All today.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up anything. Toll-free number for you, 800-259-9231. That is the Packet 8 toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. As we launch into hour number one of the program, it's Ian here with you. Oh, I should turn your microphone on, huh, Mike? How about that?
That's not fair. You've got all the control, all the mic.
We've had all kinds of mic troubles over the past couple days. So then, we're talking about all kinds of things tonight. Your calls are the primary issue, though. If you make them at 800-259-9231, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there are completely free. Now, the other day, about a week ago, I got an email just out of the blue alerting me to a particular news item in regards to the Columbine game. Now, perhaps you've never heard of the Columbine game. Mark, had you heard of the Columbine game until just recently?
No, I haven't heard it. I really don't know anything about it. I would assume that it's a online or computer-type game that is about, you know, the Columbine killings that went on.
Yes, it is the Super Columbine RPG. And it made some news when it originally came out. We're going to talk about that because, as it turns out, the author of the Columbine game, not only is he a newsmaker and made international press, but he's also a listener to Free Talk Live. And we've got him on the line right now. His name is Danny Ladone. Is it Ladone?
It's Ladone.
Ladone. All right, I got to get that right. Danny Ladone, the programmer behind the it's the Super Columbine RPG, correct?
It's called Super Columbine Massacre RPG. That's correct.
Super Columbine Massacre RPG. And I don't even know where we should start with this, Danny, because you're back in the news recently because of a, I guess, some sort of a competition, a film competition that you've been kicked out of. And
So we can start at any point you'd like, Ian. We can start with that, or we can start back with the beginning.
I think we should go back to the beginning and start out and talk about, because right before we went on the air, I was talking with you on the phone, and you mentioned to me that initially the game, the Columbine, Super Columbine Massacre RPG, was published anonymously. Now you've essentially come out as the individual behind the game. How did all of this start? What inspired you to create this game? And what was the initial response that came out of it all?
Sure. All right, Mark, are you listening? Because I want to break it down for you.
I'm listening. Tell me what the game's like, too.
Sure. Okay. So the fall of 2004, I found this software that I could use to make my very own video game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a game maker. My background is in filmmaking. I have a degree in filmmaking, and that's what I do with my business. But when I found this software to make my own game, I thought, well, if I can make a game about anything, what do I want to make a game about? Now, I was a sophomore in high school in Colorado when the shooting at Columbine occurred. And this was just an issue that was really important to me because, you know, I listened to the same kind of music as the shooters. I played the same video games. And these were the kinds of things that were vilified and scapegoated in the wake of the shooting as being causes for why they did what they did. So I thought, well, what I could do is cast the player as the main characters in the game, as the shooters, and try and give a much more detailed history of what it is that happened. So I give a lot of backstory about what it was like for the boys growing up. I try to point to things that I think might be the real causes, like being bullied in school, just feeling really angry and alienated, things like that, that I feel like really go back to causes rather than they listen to Marilyn Manson or they played Doom, these kinds of things.
Right, because like you, Danny, I also was a huge fan of Doom when it came out.
You were more of a death metal kid, though.
No, I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't say I was a death metal kid, but I had my Rammstein on from time to time.
I'm not sure what Rammstein
is. It's a German metal band, essentially.
I see.
All right.
So
anyway, I created this game over about 6 months research. I tried to make the game as sort of fact-based as possible. Almost all the dialogue in the game are first-hand accounts from the diaries and videotapes that the boys made to try and really give people some insight and not to just make something that was sort of this cheap 5-minute joke. The game takes about 5 hours to play all the way through.
Good-sized game.
It's on the internet.
Now, before you go on, I got to say, I did play some of the game. I played up through the, essentially, there's two major portions to the game, as I understand it, at least.
Right.
There's the Columbine recreation portion, where you're essentially going into the school and wiping it out. And then there's a point at which you commit suicide in the game, as the boys did in real life. And then you go to hell, and you fight demons. And that's where the game actually gets really challenging, and I started to get my butt kicked. And so at that point, I just didn't have time to go back and try to continue to play. But it's actually a pretty challenging game.
For viewers who are curious, you can go to columbinegame.com and download the game. If you're not really a gamer or you have a Mac instead of a PC, you can go to Google Video, type in Super Columbine Massacre RPG, and you can find a full run-through of the game.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually get an idea of what's going on.
Just watch
I did
it.
That for the press, because a lot of the press are not really game-savvy, but they wanted to know what it was about. So I videotaped myself playing through the whole game and said, okay, you can go here.
Now, I'm glad that you sent the shooters to hell afterwards, but I've read plenty of books that are in the first person of a bad guy, but somehow it disturbs me, the whole idea of a game in the first person of a bad guy, especially a real life bad guy that, you know.
It's not a first person shooter.
Well,
it's an RPG,
but it's told from the point of view of these people, right? I mean, it's,
yes, you are Dylan and the other guy. What are the names?
Eric and Dylan.
Right.
So,
what do you have to say to that?
I think Mark's reaction is perfectly fine. I didn't make this game so that you could have fun for several hours. I made this game to challenge and disturb people. I made this game because events like Columbine should be uncomfortable. They should be disturbing. And if you're watching a documentary about a school shooting, you're not doing it feeling particularly good. I think the same can be said for this game.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I found it very interesting, and I found myself asking myself as I was playing it, was this dialogue actually coming from the boys? And I had the feeling that it was. I don't feel like you took too many liberties with the dialogue in the game. How many liberties would you say you did take as far as creativity, creative?
Right. That's a challenge that I think is facing anyone who makes a game or a film. When possible, I try to include their first-person accounts. There are some things like for example, the playability of the game, the interactivity. I chose to allow the player to decide how many people that they would kill, rather than trying to strictly follow the narrative of where they went in the school as best
right.
as authorities can determine. So some of it does allow for, or the entire hell sequence. That's just a conjecture on my part as sort of a commentary as such.
Certainly. In fact, there's a point in the game where you can just kill yourself and not go on, or you can not kill yourself and just wipe out the entire school, and then you can go
right.
back and you can kill yourself. I decided to kill every last person in the school.
And then go to hell.
Yeah, well, you can't avoid going to hell. I mean, you're going to go
right.
to hell
yeah,
either way.
Yeah, the irony is that if you kill enough kids in the school, you'll develop the experience points to actually survive the demons in hell. Which means that if you want to make it in hell, I guess you have to be really bad. That's one suggestion someone's made.
Well, it's just your interpretation of what hell might be like, but I'm glad they went there nonetheless.
Now, with
complete with
sprites from the original Doom, so you actually get to battle the Doom demons in this Super Columbine Massacre RPG game. It's kind of fun.
I felt like if Doom was their favorite video game and they were going to hell and the game Doom was set in hell, it would only be logical that they would end up battling all the monsters from the game Doom in hell.
So you created this game. It was a six-month process. You did research.
Right.
You pulled up some old video files of theirs, some audio of theirs, or some of their writings,
right.
and you based a lot of the game off of that, and you can tell that when you're actually playing the game. It doesn't
right.
feel like it was made up. It feels like there was a lot of original content as far as from the boys themselves. And you released the game anonymously online. How
right.
soon was it before someone picked up on this? Because this did make international news when it originally came out. I remember that.
Well, the game was released in April of 2005. My plans for the game, reporters sometimes ask, what were your plans for the game? Well, my plans for the game were to put it on the internet, moderate a discussion forum that's attached to the website where people could talk about school shootings, video games, and related issues, and go on with my life.
All right, we're going to keep... I want to continue. If you'll hang on, Danny, we're going to bring you back. Hang on. 800-259-9231. If you've got a question for Danny, the programmer of the Super Columbine Massacre RPG. We'll be back with more up here in a moment. Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604. 8532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, Amazon.freetalklive.com. That's Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Ted Anderson from IDIS. January 12, 2007. Gold 614, 10 ounce gold coins are at 634.54, 319.82 for half, 159.16 for quarter ounce coins. That's 634.54, 319.82, 159.16. 1971, Nixon closes the gold window. Fiat currency. 1920s, the German mark explodes from 75 to 23 trillion. 1995, gold doubles against the Mexican peso. 1997, gold increases 82% over the Indonesian rupee. 1998, gold jumps two-thirds over the Russian ruble. 2002, the Argentine peso loses a fifth of its value to gold. 2006, the last superpower, the USA's mighty dollar, loses over half to gold and other raw goods. Could government let this happen? Without immediate backing, how much will it lose? Midas has Nick Barashev's report covering the loss of purchasing power, fat tail events, bull market economic vulnerabilities, and gold-oil relationship. You've lost half of your purchasing power. Call 800-686-2237 before the rest disappears. That's 800-686-2237.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231. The packet 8.net toll-free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free, and that does include the live streams. There's a broadband version of the show and a dial-up version there waiting for you. Totally free, freetalklive.com. And what's your liberty issue? Is it the war on drugs? Well, register now for the February 2007 New Hampshire Liberty Forum. Speakers include Jack Cole, the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, as well as Rob Campia, Executive Director of the Marijuana Policy Project, and New Hampshire residents who are working to end the war on drugs. FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum. To get more information, that's FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum. As we go back to the Newsmaker line, it's Danny LaDonne. And he is the programmer of Super Columbine Massacre RPG, a game that was released, when was it, a few years ago now, Danny?
Yeah, it was April 2005. We're going on 2 years almost.
Okay, so a couple years ago you came out anonymously on the internet and released the Super Columbine Massacre RPG, and it's essentially a simulation, kind of a take on real life where you actually took some of the Dylan and Eric's, their actual writings, some of the things that they had actually said before the shootings. You worked those elements into the game. You wanted to, as I understand it, you wanted to portray more of the story, more than you might necessarily get in the news media, more of the motivations behind the killings, and essentially force some people to look in the mirror, as you put it, on your particular website. The website is columbinegame.com. That's columbinegame.com, and that's where you can download the game, you can install it in your computer, and you can try it for yourself, which I have done. And you came out with the game in 2005. You did it anonymously. Did you publish it to begin with on your own website at columbinegame.com?
Right. I mean, I bought the website specifically for that purpose.
And how did you publicize it? How did you get it out there? How did you get it into people's hands?
Right. This is an important issue, I think. I didn't do any of those things. I didn't do this to make money because it's a free download. I didn't do this to be famous because I was anonymous. Mm-hmm. I really just wanted to put this alternative perspective on the internet for anyone to go find and really just see what discussions it evoked. So I didn't do any promotion of the site, which is why for over a year it was a very low-profile site that got probably 10,000 downloads of the game in the entire year that it was up until April of 2006.
How did people find it? I mean, you just put words, keywords on the site, or did you try to at least publicize it in some places?
What I did is I sent a URL for the game to all of my immediate friends that I thought were like-minded, and I said, if you think that anyone would be interested in this, forward this on. And that was basically all I did. And the rest of it really came out of, you know, independent game publishing sites and mm-hmm. These kinds of interest groups online, finding the game, posting it on their site, and the internet is sort of exponential that way.
It is indeed. Now, when was the first real wave of publicity that came in? You said it was about a year, just people downloading it here and there. When could you tell that something had happened?
Well, in April of 2006, I got an email from a writer who writes for the Rocky Mountain News, and he also writes his own as part of this gaming blog called Kotaku. And he said, I really want to do an interview with you. And from that point on, the game became much more publicized. And, you know, once it hit the print media and then the AP found out about it, then there were stories in the Washington Post and all these other papers by May of 2006.
Hmm. And how did your website hits go up after all that press?
Oh, I mean, I got, you know, the first year I got 10,000 downloads. In that week that it became a national story, I got another 30,000 downloads, at which point my server crashed.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It was never designed to have that kind of bandwidth. And so at that point, I really had to reconsider if and how I was still going to distribute the game, which was also when I sort of came forward as a public figure, because there was this active sort of effort to ferret out my identity anyway, and I wanted the story to be about the content of the game,
not who you were,
the person who made it.
Right, that makes sense. Now, I can only imagine the sort of negative responses that the more thoughtless of Americans would have emailed you with, maybe even called you with if they managed to find your phone number. At what point in this process did the real hate start rolling in, if you got any? I presume you did.
Right. I did. I would say, though, in their defense, that there are some pretty thoughtful Americans who oppose the game as well. I mean, you can certainly have an informed opinion and disagree with me. But, you know, I got everything from requests for autographs do death threats. And that was immediately upon the game's national publication. And so the months of May and June it was like this full-time job that I was doing in addition to the rest of my life, trying to field all these press requests and, doing some things to, if anyone puts your name in a search engine, they can find out a lot about you.
So sure.
It's a matter of, going back through and being aware of who could find out what about me and all these things that arose as a result of this game.
So what are some of the, of all the press attention that you've gotten, what are some of the standout moments for you?
Well, the standout moments include actually getting to know one of the survivors of the Columbine shooting.
Really?
Who at first was a little bit unsure of the game, and then, after we talked some more, he actually was pretty vocally supportive of the game as a possibly good way to look at and understand the shooting.
Excellent. And he got in touch with you?
He got in, he was quoted in another, because he's a Denver resident, he was quoted in another publication about the game reacting to it. He's paralyzed from the chest down.
Oh, wow.
As a result of the shooting, but he's a gamer. So, he was interested in what this thing was.
Mm-hmm.
So he played it, and he thought that it could have some benefit. He said parts of it felt really strange to him, understandably.
Sure.
But that he thought that that this had some value in terms of understanding why the shooting occurred. And so it was after that I got in touch with him and said, hey, because I really try to depersonalize what the press does to people in terms of, this is the person that's spoken out against the game, so they must be adversaries, let's quote them against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I want to try and build a more comprehensive understanding between other people. That was one of the goals of the game.
Interesting. And that's fascinating that you were able to reach out and connect with one of the survivors like that. I think that's amazing. And it's also interesting that he was supportive of the whole process. He was supportive of the game. And I think that's kind of valuable to you if the press comes, a hostile member of the press comes to you and says, well, this game is just trash. Well, you could say, well, that's not what one of the survivors of Columbine thinks. And you can
Certainly there are a lot. I don't want to paint the impression that everyone in the Columbine shooting survived, vocally supports this game. I've only heard from about three people that are actively engaged with the press, and some of them say that this game trivializes the event and glorifies the shooting.
Sure.
I've responded in kind by saying that, Ian, from playing the game, that if you commit suicide, it actually shows you the crime scene photos of the boys, dead in their own blood.
Yeah, it was pretty grisly. I sort of expected that to happen, but it still caught me by surprise in a way. Danny, hang on. I'm going to bring you back if you got time, all right?
Sure.
Hang on, 800-259-9231. If you've got a question for the programmer, the man behind the Super Columbine Massacre RPG, we've got him on the line. He not only is an international newsmaker, but he also happens to be a Free Talk Live listener to boot. It's Danny Ladone. We're going to be back with him in moments. Your calls as well. This is your show, Free Talk Live.
Hey, ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
You can see the good life all around you. The people with the bigger house, the fancy cars. It seems like everyone's living the American dream, except you. Well, what if you could start making the money you deserve with an internet business that virtually runs itself? Make cash even when you're sleeping by selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. And what if you could get started for free? It's not too good to be true. It's a proven system from Internet Speedway. And once you get started, the computer does the work while you collect the cash. And while supplies last, you can request a free CD that shows you how. Just call 1-800-889-2994. The secret to the good life isn't working harder. It's working smarter. Whether you just want a second income or you're ready to quit your job and live the good life, call now for your free CD. Only available through this exclusive radio offer. For your free CD, call 1-800-889-2994. 1-800-889-2994. 1-800-889-2994.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages, and WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All the features, we give them away. And that does include the listener map. Over 1,700 of our listeners from around the world have added themselves to the listener map. You can too, or just scroll around and see who else is a listener of the show. Map.freetalklive.com to experience that feature. That's map.freetalklive.com. And do you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections? Well, SACL CAI does collections, and they do it in a whole new way. SACL's employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you want to keep your clients too. SACL CAI, check out their banner at freetalklive.com. Or call 1-800-544-6359. That's 800-544-6359. Do business with businesses that support Free Talk Live. As we go back to Danny Ladone, he is the programmer, the man behind Super Columbine Massacre RPG. It's a game that was released in 2005 to little fanfare, a kind of a soft, quiet release. And then all of a sudden in mid or early to mid 2006, the news got wind of it. And it blew up, and we've sort of just been following the story behind Super Columbine Massacre RPG and what the motivations were, what the press's response were, the response actually from some of the victims, the survivors of the Columbine Massacre, and that's where we've come so far here. Danny, are you still with us?
I'm still with you, Ian.
Great. Your website is columbinegame.com for anyone that wants to give the game a try. That's columbinegame.com. You actually have a discussion board there. What are some of the other features on the site?
Well, the site also features a trailer that I cut for the game for the Slam Dance Film Festival, which we'll get to in a minute. It has some screenshots of the game to give people an idea of what's in it. On the discussion forum, there's lots of different topics about video games, school shootings, things like that.
So, we might as well jump into the this film contest before we run out of time and don't actually get to cover it. You said you've got a short film. I actually took the time to watch it. It was the first taste that I had actually gotten of the game before I downloaded and played it. And you entered the – it's essentially like a trailer almost for the game in a way.
Yeah, let me correct you there. The trailer was cut for the festival to help publicize the game, but the Slamdance Film Festival for 3 years now has had what's called a guerrilla game maker competition.
Okay.
That the game itself could be entered into this competition.
So even though it's a film festival, games, there is a subcategory for games.
They're recognizing a larger, sort of burgeoning independent game scene, and they wanted to allow developers to showcase the work there.
Got it.
But to make it clear, I really did not think about submitting my game to their festival because, I didn't want to pay the entry fee just to have them throw the game in the trash can, which is what I expected them to do. Until I got an email from the festival director saying, you know, we really want your game to be at our festival. We really think that it's doing something for gaming, and we would be honored to have you submit it. And at that point, I said, well, there's no reason not to, which I did.
Did they waive the entry fee, or did you have to pay
them? I paid the entry fee. That was fine. I guess I just did so knowing that they'd actually more or less commissioned the game and that it was something that would be worth my while to look into.
I see. So what ended up happening?
Well, a couple of months went by. The game was announced as a finalist, which surprised me less because I thought if they wanted this game, surely they would want it to be a part of the festival. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is a sort of conventional video game that has a lot of competition. There's not much out there like this. We can get to what is out there like that in a bit if you'd like. But basically, the game was listed as a finalist, and for several months I was making preparations to go to the festival. And last week, the day before I emailed you, I learned that the game had been pulled from the finalist programming for the Guerrilla Game Maker competition at Slamdance.
Now, that was what propelled you back into the news. There was news around the Internet also just on a few different, I don't know if the AP covered it, but it was definitely out there.
I spoke with the AP today, so I'm sure you'll be seeing it in that way pretty soon.
I see. So when is the actual finals? How far are we out from the competition?
Yeah, the film festival starts next week, actually.
I see. So this is still fresh news.
This is less than a week's time.
Right, this is still going on. So did they call you up to tell you you were dropped, or how did you find out?
Yeah. I got an email from the game festival director saying, you know, Danny, we need to talk. And it's not as though we hadn't been talking, so I knew he wasn't letting me know that they misspelled my name in the program.
Right.
It was because the game had been pulled, and I then spoke to the president of the festival that evening, and I've been in contact with them since then as all of this unfolds.
That's a real shame. What was it that actually propelled them to remove the game?
Well, the reason seems to be a moving target. At first, I was under the impression that there were sponsors for the festival that, you know, had considered pulling out of the festival and that the long-term viability of the festival was at stake. Later, several of the sponsors came forward saying, no, we didn't say anything of that nature. And in fact, one of the sponsors has since pulled sponsorship for having this game pulled from the program.
Interesting.
Right.
Which sponsor was that?
There were about 14 developers who were listed as finalists. An additional six of them, aside from mine, are now out of the competition. They pulled their games out in protest because they felt strongly about my game staying in the competition.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Now, what was the sponsor that pulled out?
The sponsor that pulled out was USC's media division. USC has a game development program there, and
okay.
Their students have been consistently submitting, and the school has been sponsoring it, but apparently no more.
So now, where do we stand with this competition, Slamdance 2007? Is there a chance that you're going to be reinstated, or is it just going to go without you and without those other guys that pulled their games?
The game is definitely not being reinstated. It's not being reinstated because there are too many concerns at Slamdance about some legal implications that would be involved if they screened the game. Because we live in a country that's quite litigious and a lot of civil lawsuits all the time, an organization of Slamdance's visibility could be subjected to that kind of court procedures before screening this game should something happen down the line that could be alleged to be related to this video game.
They don't have much as far as thick skin goes. I mean, if we were if Ian and I were scared about litigiousness, we wouldn't even get on the air every night.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we say some really radical stuff on America's airwaves, and somehow or another, we've managed to make it 3 or 4 years or something. I don't know, since 2003. And,
Right. So, you know, I can't speak on their behalf. I can say that it's problematic to market yourself as a subversive alternative film festival and having a guerrilla game maker competition unless you're serious about courting and defending guerrilla games.
Right. Doesn't sound like they're very serious about that.
Wow. That's incredible.
Let me add, though, in their defense, what they're trying to do in the long term is create a festival that will support gaming and independent game development. It may just be that the world is not ready for a Columbine game yet, and it may take a few years.
They don't know that. They just decided that. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not right. They just don't know.
Right. They don't know. None of us know, really. This is new territory for all of us.
If the world's not
13 years that anything has been pulled out of Slam Dance.
If the world's not ready for a Columbine game, when is it ever going to be ready? I mean, there are always going to be oversensitive people that are going to find it offensive. I mean, they say that when it comes to a tragic event, you're not supposed to make jokes about it until a certain period of time has passed. Well, it's been nearly, what are we up to, almost 10 years, I think, since Columbine actually occurred. You know, at what point does it become appropriate to start discussing it and to have a game about it? I think it's appropriate now, and I think that I think it's a shame that they pulled your game from this. And I hope that, I wish you the best of luck in continuing to promote the game. I don't know what will continue to happen here. Have you noticed another boost in publicity since this recent event?
Yeah, this game has more or less been fueled from the controversy from the start. The game, as currently, has been downloaded, in my estimation, over 300,000 times.
Wow, that's quite an accomplishment.
It's available on newer sites, available on community programs.
What do you do for, like, a living? Do you program for a living, or is this just something you did for fun?
No. Let me stress this. I am the complete amateur of all game designers. I use software that pre-existed to make this game because it's like the drag and drop of video games.
I got you. Danny, hang on. We're going to come back with more. If you got a question for Danny LaDone, he is the programmer of Super Columbine Massacre RPG. Call in now.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage for a fatter wallet. Go to royalpurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high-performance motor oil that outperforms. Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231. The packet's 8. Toll-free line for you. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, we give them away. You get them for free. FreeTalkLive.com, though we do ask that you voluntarily support the show by, for instance, becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier. Head over to amp.freetalklive.com and get signed up like over 300 of our listeners have already done for as little as $3 a month. Now, you know the website's for free, so this is above and beyond all that. This is just for you to show your support for Free Talk Live, because what we do with the money is we take it in and we turn it around into promoting the show, getting Free Talk Live on more radio stations, getting on more people's internet connections, and thereby spreading the message of freedom and liberty as far and as wide as possible. So that's valuable to you. Head over to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more about the AMP program. That is amp.freetalklive.com. As we go back to the AMP, he's on our newsmaker line, actually. It's Danny Ledone, and he is the programmer behind Super Columbine Massacre RPG. Though, and this is a game that has made international news, as it turns out, Danny. You emailed me out of the blue, and you're a listener of the show, which I think is awesome. So we not only do we have our regular listeners out there, but amongst them are international newsmakers. And you certainly didn't create this game intending to make international news, but it just sort of blew up unexpectedly. And now here you are. You had the game entered into a competition recently where they decided at the last minute to yank your game. It was a finalist. Then they pulled you out of the competition, which actually ensured that your game got more press than maybe it would have had they just let you stay in the competition. And at this point, you were just beginning to tell us that you weren't actually the programmer behind the game. You used a construction set, essentially, right?
Well, yeah, let me be clear. I was the programmer of the game. There was no one else that made this game happen. But there's a free downloadable program called RPG Maker that basically, like, you can use the Windows operating system as opposed to doing all your own code to run your computer. This helps you write your own code for your own video game.
Got it. So it sort of made it a lot easier. You didn't actually have to know the programming language itself. You sort of drag and drop, as you described it, right?
Definitely. It's like trying to use the Internet without a web browser. There were certainly people that could do it, but until you had a web browser, a lot of people wouldn't know how.
Got it.
Understood.
So we've covered where the game came from. We've covered what has happened, the press explosion, the slam dance, ejecting you from the competition. What do you think's coming next for Super Columbine Massacre RPG? Do you see anything in the future?
Right. You know, a lot of people ask me, what are your plans for the game? I said, well, my plans for the game was to release it on the internet and go about my life. That worked for about a year, but it doesn't work anymore. So the real question has become, what are the game's plans for me? I feel like there are certainly some things that I want to do now, so I'm working on a documentary film, because that's what I actually do professionally. You'd asked that earlier. I'm a filmmaker, and I run my own video production business. But I thought, you know, this story fell in my lap, and I thought, what a good subject for a movie, because there's just been, you know, wave after wave of discussion, debate, and controversy.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. The movie's going to be about the game or about Columbine?
The movie is going to be about the issues that the game raises. The movie is going to be about video games as a form of art, about video games with an agenda, and about how all this happens in the 21st century where it's all on the internet.
Interesting. Now, can you actually make money off of documentaries?
I may be able to. I certainly have enough ways to make money now, even though I'm doing all this pro bono work like this game. I feel like if this is a story in the news, you know, month in, month out, for different reasons, it's clearly something that people are interested in to the extent that they would want to learn more about it.
Absolutely. And perhaps once you release your, I don't know if you have very many contacts in the media. I presume you've probably built up a few by this point.
Right.
Since you've got some contacts now, maybe when you release your film, you can get in touch with the people that you know in the media, and they may pick it up as a story, which could be a good thing.
Right. And when I release the film, I may just submit it to Slam Dance and see what they do with it.
Right on. Well, very cool. So if listeners want to get in touch with you, there is an email link on your website, correct?
Right. You got it. ColumbineGame.com. I mean, now that it's public, even if it means staying up a couple of extra hours each night, I do try to respond to emails, press inquiries, things like that, because the whole project, I think, is really interesting to me, and I want to keep it going in new ways.
Well, I understand how a lot of email, it can be really frustrating at times. Do you have just a tremendous amount? I mean, how many emails a day are you getting?
I would say that I've gotten more hate mail in one day than most people get in their life.
I think you're probably right. I mean, we haven't even really gotten death threats yet.
They tell us our show's crappy in Bush League, but that's really it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I will say that, you know, I tend to think that despite all of the criticism that it's gotten, there is some value in just getting a culture to talk about something that they would just as soon put under the rug and forget.
I agree. Absolutely. People were really disturbed by the Columbine incident, and it's easy. I mean, it's easier to just build up a big wall and just leave it there, and you're essentially bringing it back. You're sort of forcing it back in a lot of ways to people's front burner, and you're forcing them to address the issues that I think need to be addressed. And I remember after the Columbine incident, the most interesting piece of press that I saw come out about it was actually from The Onion. I'm sure you're familiar with it, theonion.com. It's a great satirical newspaper. And the headline of the article was like a couple years after Columbine. The headline of the article was, Columbine Jocks Resume Bullying. And it was the funniest, and it was also at the same time a pretty sad article because, well, in the history of the two guys, Dylan and Eric, was some being pushed around by some of the jocks and, you know, the big guys at the high school and being belittled and made fun of. And so the article was suggesting that, well, now everything feels like it's back to normal, so the Columbine jocks can start pushing people around again and inevitably piss some more people off.
It's funny that you'd mentioned that because actually I got an anonymous email from someone claiming to be at Columbine High School today saying that the culture is much the same as it was, and it wouldn't surprise this person if there was such a shooting again at a school like Columbine. Certainly these things aren't going away until we look at them realistically. And, the fact is, I could have written a book about Columbine. I could have, posted some internet blog about it. But I wanted to face the fact that young people today play video games and they use the internet. And if I wanted to reach people in a new and different way, perhaps making a video game would be a way to do it.
And, yes, young people do play video games, and the vast majority, the super majority, 99.99% of them, will never do anything violent. And as you pointed out, you were the same. You were into some of the same cultural phenomenon that they were. You listened to some of the same music. You played right. some of the same video games, but you didn't pick up a rifle. And I was victimized a few times when I was in school.
Well, I think everybody was probably picked up.
And the reason I started listening to your show is because I was doing a search online about some articles and interviews by Jack Thompson, and I came across your show that way. I think that there's a real debate that needs to be won in our culture about what video games are and what video games aren't. And if video games really are murder simulators that compel kids to go out and start shooting, you know, half of America plays video games. If this were at all true, we would have blood in the streets every day, all day, and
sure.
modern society would just collapse. But that's not the case.
I totally agree with you, but I don't think anybody's ever going to look that closely at it. I think that what you're going to see is what we've been talking about over the last year, and that is that the politicians, I know Hillary Clinton, I think she has commissioned the Centers for Disease Control to do a $90 million study on whether or not video games influence behavior. And of course, since it's a government study, they're going to come back with the numbers that the government's looking for, and that is that, well, yes, video games do influence young people's behavior. And they're going to use that
as...
It's
a very worrisome issue, Ian, and I think that every election cycle we see both major parties racing to the bottom to try and condemn video games the hardest, even games that they themselves have never heard of or played. And I think that I do disagree with you that this is always going to be like this, because I can not remember, but I can certainly recall historically an era where jazz music was to believe the cause of all the sexual infidelity, or Elvis. I mean, every generation has its scapegoat. I feel like because video games are mine, I have the opportunity to stand up and defend them in an important way.
I agree with you, and I see where you're coming from, and they certainly didn't ban jazz music, but it seems like as we go on in time, government becomes more intrusive and more oppressive, and it doesn't seem like it's too far off that the government will decide to ban certain types of video games. I mean,
we'll have to see. I think that possibility definitely exists, and I would really like, you know, anyone who votes, anyone who plays video games, to really wake up and see this as an issue of importance, because right now, you know, both political parties are competing to call for Grand Theft Auto to be banned.
Yep, they sure are. And they're trying to all position themselves as a friends of the family and doing the right thing for America, when in fact banning video games is just going to create another prohibited product for the black market to handle. It's not going to make
violence
go away.
Right, and that's just it. You know, this video game didn't go through some formalized process.
Right.
The fact is, games like this will happen because the Internet is a decentralized means of distribution.
Danny Ladone, we appreciate having you on the show, my man. We are out of time. More on the way. Hour 2's coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now, for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies per day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.